back together again. You and I wrapping up a pretty busy week, Friday, September 9th, 2022, on Connecticut Today. We talked again about the passing of Britain's Queen Elizabeth II and why so many people reacted the way they did. We also chatted again about the frustration I have with the present Connecticut gubernatorial campaign. You know, I was talking to some folks earlier today and last night and, you know, chatting online and, you know, talking to the people on this program and other folks. And, you know, it's always interesting when somebody passes, when a world figure, a national figure, an entertainment figure, a governmental figure that people particularly admired for one reason or another, when that person passes. Now, 99.99999% of the time, the person that passes really probably had nothing to do, really, honestly, nothing to do, right, with the vast majority of people's lives directly. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, we love music that people make. It tends to be mile markers in our lives. We love great movies that we've watched 1, 2, 5, or 10 times because, you know, for some reason it makes us feel good. It makes us laugh. It makes us forget about the garbage that's out there that we have to deal with in our personal lives and our families, unfortunately, sometimes, and at work. But when you think about it, we could really, you know, get by without these people. We could, because there are very, 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 very few people outside of our families that have a direct influence or an effect or a cause and effect relationship on our lives outside of our, you know, families and close circle of friends and maybe work friends. So I was talking about this yesterday and early today with some folks about the outpouring, what I guess you could say is an overwhelming reaction to the death of Queen Elizabeth at the age of 96 yesterday, 7-decade reign, the longest monarch in British history, and the monarchy now, and I don't mean to be crass in saying this at all, but the monarchy now is really kind of, I don't want to say devolved, but has evolved over the past, you know, couple of generations. You know, once you got beyond World War II and the leadership that the monarchy and the royal family provided during the war years to a lot of people, maybe two generations of folks out there right now, the monarchy has, you know, with all the tabloids and what's going on now with Meghan Markle and her husband and what went on with Princess Diana and all that, the first wife of now King Charles, and we think we'd ever hear that phrase, but For about two generations, it's kind of devolved or evolved into an entertainment thing. You know what I mean? And look, they'll probably be out there today. If you go to a supermarket tonight, maybe. If you go to Walbaum's or ShopRite or, you know, or Big Y or Stop and Shop or whatever, or Wegmans, whatever you go to, the magazine rack, I'm sure within the next 2 or 3 days, you're going to see a dozen magazines with the Queen's picture on it. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But in talking to these people, you sit and you wonder why people react the way they do. And, you know, I got a couple of theories on that. I talked about it yesterday, but even thinking more and more overnight, it is interesting. And whatever you feel about this, you can, of course, jump in here if you'd like. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Or online at facebook.com/WICC600. You know, the Queen to a lot of people was the image of stability. And when you look at that, the big question is why? Why was she? I mean, the woman really, with all due respect to her memory, didn't really have any real political power, did she? I mean, listen, this is not the monarchy of the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s, and even early 1900s. It's just not. But it is symbolic. And I think what this whole thing can teach us, and I was talking about this earlier today with some folks and last night chatting online, is that people just like a sense of stability, right? This is one of those, what do they say right now, teachable moments. They always say that, where, you know, you want some sort of sense that, okay, the world's okay. And maybe somebody like, you know, Queen Elizabeth and now King Charles, and if Charles's oldest son becomes king in 10 or 15 years, whatever, you know, if that all happens, people look at that, right? And they say, well, yeah, okay. They have no real power, but they're there. There's this, it's an odd thing, isn't it? And, you know, you look at maybe certain politicians in the U.S. were like that. Maybe JFK was like that, above and beyond the political stuff. Maybe, you know, the Camelot, the dawn of a new generation, maybe JFK was like that. You know, and just maybe this is why people are reacting to that. And also last night, I'm starting to see, and boy, I tell you, some people just can't wait. And I understand there are certain aspects of the monarchy that just still to this day, and with very good reason, to this day, still, you know, royal people. There is a college professor now at a major university who happens to be minority. I think she's black or Hispanic or whatever, and she's taking issue with the history of what the British monarchy has done. And she put something on Twitter or on social media saying, you know, something to the effect of, I hope the Queen had a painful death, or hope she's writhing in pain somewhere. I mean, all right, fine. I guess you're allowed to say that. Is that constructive? See, and another thing, even with academics, people just can't embrace the fact that times change. And did the British monarchy, are they still doing bad things? Some people would say yes. Did they do bad things over the past 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 years? Yeah, that's all been documented. But to a lot of people, that's not the forefront of their minds. And even if it is, they may say, well, wait a minute. That's not why Queen Elizabeth for 70 years was admired, you know, to millions of Britons. So it is interesting, right, when something like this happens. And it's not just royalty. It's not just maybe a political leader. But boy, I tell you, isn't this a unique and interesting example, right? Another one where you look at this and you just watch how people react. And whether it's a friend of yours on social media, you know, RIP, Queen Elizabeth, or you look at, again, some of these academics, and there's a couple of, you know, columnists out there, minorities, yeah, because listen, the British Empire kept a, you know, millions of, you know, minorities and black folks and on various islands, you know, under control for years. Some would say slavery, you know, the pretty harsh reactions last night. So again, when anything like this happens, it really is, like they like to say, a teachable moment as to how people react, what's really in the human psyche. As you react to somebody or something or some group of people that may have literally zero to do with your life or the lives of your recent family over a couple, three generations. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Do you think the I hate to put it this way, but I'm sure there are people out there who think this. Do you think this is to a bit of an excess? And I don't. But I'm reading some really interesting things online, and not all crass stuff, but, you know, appeals to people to say, hey, take a step back here. We shouldn't be honoring the Queen like she's the second coming of the Savior. What do you think about all that? We kind of slog around here in the campaign to decide a little less than, well, one day less than 2 months from now, on Tuesday, November 8th, who the next governor is going to be. And again, something that I, you know, have pointed out here, and I'm going to continue to do that. We seem to have a junk food campaign going. What do I mean by that? People say, what do you mean junk food campaign? Stuff that sounds good politically, but doesn't really answer hard questions. Right? Doesn't really answer hard questions, doesn't really get to the issues that a lot of people really want to talk about and should talk about, because it's a little itchy. I like to use that word. It gets a little itchy. It gets a little uncomfortable. Gets a little uncomfortable. Gets a little squishy, to be really honest about. The fists are starting to fly rhetorically, not physically. We don't want to actually see Governor Ned Lamont and Bob Stefanowski throwing punches at each other. But you know what? For charity, hey, why not? Imagine if one candidate said, listen, let's do like a boxing thing, right? Soft gloves. We'll both wear headgear. We'll both wear, you know, protection of our manhood like some boxers do during sparring. And we'll just tap each other for charity. Imagine that. But again, I guess there are accusations now, you know, being tossed back and forth again from the Democrats to Bob Stefanowski's camp about guns and everything. And again, what have I told you? Junk food campaign, Trump abortion and guns, Trump abortion and guns. Other than that, can we have some substance? Because abortion's not going anywhere in the U.S. It's not. In Connecticut, anyway. You know, the U.S. has different states. I get it. Some red states. Meant to say in Connecticut, it's not going anywhere. Connecticut's not suddenly going to loosen up its gun laws. It's not going to happen. But the stuff coming from the Connecticut Democratic Party, of whom I've invited their head, Nancy DiNardo, to come on the program here, and the response I get is crickets. Thank you very much. But from them, you would think that Bob Stefanowski is ready to turn Connecticut into Alabama. It's not going to happen. And I'm looking at a news release here the Stefanowski campaign has responded to regarding a news conference, I guess, that's scheduled, that did happen or will happen in New Haven. New Haven Mayor Justin, now listen to this, because this is so stupid. New Haven Mayor Justin Elicker, survivors and advocates will highlight the differences between Republican gubernatorial candidate Bob Stefanowski, who received the highest possible rating from the NRA and believes Connecticut may need to arm teachers in some communities, and the sensible gun safety proposals proposed by Democrats. Now, notice, there's no mention of crime in there. There's no mention of wanting to protect kids. And I know arming teachers is controversial. That's never going to happen here in the state. It's never going to happen. But my frustration is all you see the Democrats wanting to talk about is guns, abortion, and Trump. Can we talk about taxes? Can we talk about state regulation? Can we talk about the fact that Connecticut's rating for being business friendly sucks, has sucked, and continues to suck? Can we talk about the high expenses of operating a business here? Can we talk about the fact that we have among the highest, if not the highest, utility rates in the state? You notice how the Democratic campaigns never want to talk about that? And I'm not saying Republicans have the answer, but for the love of God, can we step away from Trump, guns, and abortion and actually tackle some honest stuff? Nobody wants to talk about the overall tax burden. Oh, well, the governor gave out $600 million in tax relief. Yeah, and if you don't have a kid, you don't own property, and you don't own a car, you're SOL. You got nothing. Well, you know, it's targeted. That's political speak for who will vote for us. So, you know, I guess the Stefanowski campaign said, you know, blank this, you know. And issued this statement here. Bob Stefanowski, candidate for governor of Connecticut, responds to today's press conference held in New Haven. Listen to this. Now, you can tell that the shift in strategy in Mr. Stefanowski's campaign, which may or may not work, the governor still may win in a landslide, but this is interesting. We didn't hear this for the first few months of the campaign. Quote, unable to explain away his lies about raising your taxes and mocking parents concerned about their kids' education as extremists, Governor Lamont's desperation is starting to show. Today, he reached a new low by exploiting survivors of horrible gun violence that happened under his watch as a backdrop for another attack ad. My position on supporting law enforcement and keeping people safe has not changed since day one. And will that make a difference? Who knows? But they're punching now, which is interesting. Today, he reached a new low by exploiting survivors of horrible gun violence as a backdrop for an attack ad. Good. I like that, Bob. Keep punching. He continued, Connecticut has the strongest gun laws in the entire country, and that's the way they should be. But I will also use my platform as governor to urge federal action in Congress on comprehensive solutions that protect the rights of law-abiding gun owners while strengthening federal laws that prevent those who pose a risk to themselves and others from getting their hands on a gun. Good. Good. Don't shy away from protecting the rights of gun owners. Stop it. Stop running away from that. You know what I would do in this campaign? I would cut a commercial, and if I was advising Bob Stefanowski right now, say, Bob, look into the camera and ask this question. Why is Governor Lamont so afraid of legal gun owners? Why, Governor? Why is Connecticut soft on crime? Why did the governor's party need to be dragged kicking and screaming in the last legislative session to get even some minor tightening on juvenile justice? It's maddening. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. It's maddening. It's maddening. All they want to talk about, the governor's party, and I get it, he's in front. But all they want to talk about is gun. Now, listen, when I mean talk about, yeah, do they talk about other issues over the years? Of course they do. But in the campaign, it's Trump, guns, and abortion, like we're going to become Alabama. Come on, stop insulting our intelligence. Run a real campaign. Try to explain away the fact that Connecticut is hell for businesses. Look at the costs. Look at the tax structure. That's not me saying it. That's all these sites that rate the state for business. And you wonder why no manufacturers want to come here of any consequence that can provide good, solid, middle-class, blue-collar jobs. Why do we constantly have the highest utility rates, electric rates in this state? Why? Can we talk about that instead of Trump or guns or abortion? It's maddening. Jose is with us this afternoon. Jose, hi, you're on WICC.
Hey, how you doing, Paulie? Long time, no time.
Hey, what's going on?
Let me break it down for you and the audience. Here's why Lamont wins in the landslide. I'm going to break it down very simple. Number one, the economy's booming. If you drive around Connecticut, there's building everywhere. Number two, construction projects everywhere. Everybody's got three jobs. Number four, the Republicans are seen or against everything. And number five, the big one, this is the big one that will win in the landslide, abortion. Connecticut women are for women's rights. Republicans want to take them away, and not just abortion, contraceptives.
Do you honestly think, now, yes, in certain states, okay,
no,
I get
finish,
that.
I finish. No. The Republicans want to take women's rights and the right of women to purchase contraceptives. Do you know what that means? Women's rights will go back 100 years.
Is that going to happen? Is that going to happen here in Connecticut? Do you honestly think that we're going to outlaw abortion, Jose, in Connecticut? Come on.
Paul, I know you're pro-Republican.
Yeah. Because I like some common sense every so often.
I know, but here's why that will never happen. Because Connecticut voters are educated, and they'll never put in a pro-Trump anti-democracy.
So wait a minute, Jose. Are you telling me at 519 that Republican voters in this state are uneducated?
No, what I'm telling you is...
Wait, no. You said, hold on a second. You just said Democratic voters or Connecticut voters are, who vote for Democrats are educated.
Connecticut voters. I didn't say Connecticut voters, independents, Democrats, Republicans. Yeah. They're smarter than that.
Okay.
They don't want to go back 100 years. They love the rights they got, thank you. Don't take my rights away because of your anti-democracy crap.
First of all, this is not a democracy. This is a democratic republic, but that's beside the point. So
I know you want to get into antics about it.
Jose, here's the bottom line. The Democrats don't want to talk about public safety. They don't want to talk about high taxes. They don't want to talk about high utility bills. They don't want to talk about that stuff, Jose.
You know
I love you, man.
Talk about?
What?
You know what they want to talk about?
What?
Paul Pacelli?
Yeah.
Jobs and the freedom to choose to do with their body what they want, not the Republicans, anti-democracy, anti-voting.
Anti-voting. How are the Republicans anti-voting now here in Connecticut? How is that anti-voting, Jose, here in Connecticut?
No, they're anti-voting. If they ever got in,
yeah,
they would put in suppressive measures.
Yeah.
Just like they do in Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina right now. They're trying to pass a law where they want to lock the mother and the doctor up at the same time.
Is that going to happen, Jose, anytime here in Connecticut?
No.
Yes or no?
Here's why it won't happen. The reason it will not happen is because Connecticut voters don't want to lose their freedom. That's why it won't happen. Not because the Republican got a great idea. No.
Jose, but if that's not going to happen, then why aren't we talking about the issues, Jose, in this state that really matters? Why really matter? Again, why did the Democratic Party in this state, Jose, have to be dragged kicking and screaming, thank God, by some Republicans to at least tighten some juvenile justice stuff, my man? Come on. Why is that?
Have no issues at all.
Oh, there you go. Jose, I love you, man.
Here's the Republicans' issue.
Yeah.
Whatever Trump says.
Here we go, Trump. I knew it. Yes, Jose. Jose, have a wonderful weekend, my friend. I appreciate it.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.